Hello, hello. Welcome back to Paddock Project. We've had 4 weeks off. It's insane. 4 weeks.
Whoa.
It's basically the same amount as silly season, summer break, but we are heading to Austin. In my mind, this GP needs no introduction. It's the best race ever. Race of the people at Circuit of the Americas, iconic city and iconic circuit. So we're going to jump right in. Lots to catch up on. I'm Chessa.
And I'm Tiggy. Yes, this race holds a very special place in our heart. It was the first race we ever went to back in 2021, and this is going to be our third time going. We're going to be there. So we're so excited, have lots of fun things in store for you all. So stay tuned on the podcast, on socials, on everything.
On our close friend story, which we love to do if you're on it.
Well, you have to explain how you get on the close friend story. You can't just
So
drop that.
it's for Patreon. So if you join our Patreon and then you DM us your, well, when you DM us, we'll get your handle and then you will add you to our close friend story. And it's always fun behind the scenes of race weekend.
Races. It's a good time. All right, for COTA, it is just outside Austin, Texas. It's hosted the US Grand Prix for the past 10 plus years. And like Chessa was saying, iconic track. It really just gives everything. It's not a street circuit or temporary track. This is a permanent racing facility that is more like the classic countryside tracks that we see in Europe. So really good racing. It's actually the only permanent F1 track in the US. It is, like we said, a bit outside the city, so there's a lot of space for like for a big complex. It has that rolling hills kind of vibe, but at the same time, it is really the best of both worlds because it's super close to Austin, very incredible, vibrant city. And as we've seen in the past, most notably with Daniel Ricciardo, rest in peace for Formula One, the F1 traveling circus seems to really enjoy the Austin culture and atmosphere. I like if you've been watching the content already this week, it's just getting better and better. Like we have to talk about the liveries.
I was particularly excited slash disturbed by the video of George Russell like pulling up in the old Mercedes with the cowboy hat on. It looked like he was a cartoon character, like an AI version of himself. And he was like, "Howdy, Austin." I was like, "'Cause this is the Matrix we've entered." This track has gotten a lot of praise from drivers and the racing community in general because it has good racing, great overtaking. We've definitely seen it in the past few years, which is a differentiating circuit factor from a lot of circuits, especially street circuits. And the reason why we call it Race for the People or Race of the People, it's very inclusive and affordable, relatively speaking, because the general admission spaces here are massive. They're incredible. Lots of different viewing opportunities from GA. We did that in 2021. We had an awesome time. We were right up against the fences. And then turn one, which has a lot of actions, it's a big left-hander up a hill. It's very visible from a lot of places on the circuit. That's like the GA mad zone if you just like want to be like sardined up in there. But there's a lot going on. It's quite fun.
You have to hike up the turn one hill at some point. It is worth the experience. And we posted on our story earlier this week, but check out our YouTube. If you watch the vlog from last year, there's so much good content in there about like what there is to do at the circuit. So if you're going or if you're not, it's a good thing to watch. Just kind of a trip down memory lane, but it gets you in the COTA mood. COTA also hosts NASCAR, MotoGP, the World Endurance Championship, and has also held IndyCar races before. So lots going on. They also have karting, sports cars, an amphitheater. It's really got it all. And then there are also car condos for sports cars there. So COTA is just putting in a lot of incredible work to make it a great weekend. It'll probably be close to 500,000. It keeps breaking records. When we went in 2021, it was 400,000. I think 2022 was 440,000. And it's just, I think it's going to keep growing. But like we were saying, the off-track entertainments, it's also so fun. There's a lot of good food. This year, we have Sting and Eminem making concert appearances. And I've been trying to plan dinner with my sister for Friday night, who was also going with her friends to the race. And she's like, "Sorry, I have to see Sting." He doesn't come
She's
on
Gen
until.
Z, by the way, so that makes her very cool.
Yeah, she is very cool. But yeah, Sting is taking my sister away from me, but that's okay.
You have us.
Exactly.
And to close it out, the track has been fully repaved this year, so smoothing it out a little bit. It was a little bit bumpy last year. It's 5.5 kilometers, 36 laps with two DRS zones.
For last year's race, let's get into it. Huge race for Max Verstappen, which race wasn't last year, except for Singapore, I guess. But he secured his 50th ever F1 win, which was also huge considering he came from P6 to win the race. We had a strong finish from Lewis, who chased Max for the whole race and was able to end P2. I remember being there for that and being so excited. We had Lando P3, who was a strong contender for the win and really fought hard, followed by Sainz, Checo, and Leclerc. We basically had a full-on sprint the last few laps between Max, Lando, and Lewis for the win. So that was exciting. But I feel like, Chessa, you should take us through the big.
After the race ended, the big news was the disqualification of both Charles and Lewis. So Lewis lost out on his P2, which was crazy and good and amazing for Mercedes last year. So that was so sad. And Charles lost out on P6. So basically what happened, it was after the race and after the podium ceremony, which just makes it 10 times worse, the FIA did their standard post-race checks, which includes doing physical inspections of the floors of the car, of which Leclerc and Hamilton's were being inspected. And they basically look at the plank on the floor of the car for wear and tear. So the planks, they're also called skid blocks. They ensure that the cars don't run too close to the ground, which would make them extra downforce. And the FIA found excessive wear and tear on them, which led to that disqualification. So basically every plank is allowed to have a minimum thickness of wear and tear, and teams get 1 millimeter of grace on either side of that for normal wear during a race, but both Lewis's and Charles exceeded that. It was a highly technical and shocking disqualification after the fact.
And that was the iconic picture of Lewis and Charles that has since been memed everywhere. But yeah, that's one of the most amazing things about F1. When we talk about margins, we're literally talking about 1 millimeter. So
that's like hundreds of seconds. Yeah, it really gets down to it.
Yes. So before we go team by team, let's talk about upgrades. Since we had a full 4-week gap between races, this means that teams have had the time to keep working. So unlike the summer break where teams don't work, they're literally not allowed to work on the car, this time they've been working to bring significant upgrades ahead of the weekend. And we only have 6 races left this season, with 3 of them being sprint races. So expect teams to be making changes with that in mind. So I'm excited to see what these cars look like beyond the liveries.
The liveries are really incredible. And we'll talk about this one, but for Williams, it's a special race for Albon. So they have a special livery for him. And yeah, it's going to be all over the place. It'll be very fun. But let's go team by team. And now we have to start with McLaren because they are first in constructors. So the championship battle, though, might really be heating up. So after the summer break, Lando was in P2, 78 points back from Max, who was in P1. Who still is in P1. But since then, Lando has outscored Max in the 4 races following the start of the time back from the summer break. And so that gap is now closed to 52 points. And since this is a sprint weekend, there's even more points up for grab. And theoretically, like if you do the math, you could have a swing of up to 34 points this weekend. So if Lando gets all the points that he could get and Max gets no points, we could see that gap really, really close down. So quick question. Do we think that there is a possibility of a nail-biting season finisher in Abu Dhabi this year?
There is always the possibility. Is it the likelihood?
Not last year there wasn't.
Okay, fair.
There is, right?
This year there is a possibility. I think it's still unlikely, as we've been saying, but to your point, with a lot of sprint races coming up, there's a lot more points on the table. There's room for more, for larger swings. So I definitely think it's possible. It's really hard to know how the cars are kind of going to come out swinging after 4 weeks off. But if McLaren is in the same place they were and Red Bull is also kind of continuing its slower decline, then maybe it's
the
possible.
The paths will cross right in Abu Dhabi. The upward and downward trajectories will have a, I don't know if I haven't taken math in years, but you know what I mean.
The intercept.
Yeah. There we go. MX plus, what is it? Y equals MX plus B. That's
gonna We're just throwing out equations here. This is actually triggering to me because I am back in school and learning a lot of math.
You should have been the one to make that analogy, not me.
For Red Bull, this is definitely an important race for the team to see if they can turn things around before the end of the season. Right now, as we've said, they've lost P1 in constructors to McLaren. They're 41 points behind. Plus, like we just said, there could be a serious battle for the Drivers' Championship. It's going to be interesting to see how the car is looking and then also how both Max and Checo perform. I feel like Checo is still a bit of a question mark, but Mexico's coming up, so hoping for a good performance from him there.
If not, at least a morale boost. For Ferrari, the team will be looking to start this last leg of the season really strong after they had a very disappointing last race in Singapore. And while the Coda track isn't actually fully suited to the Ferrari's capabilities, according to the team themselves, they do feel optimistic that they can battle against McLaren this weekend. I'm not so sure about that. Like in some of their press releases, they were like, oh yeah, the championship battle is still not the championship, but the constructors battle could still be ours. And Ferrari does feel pretty optimistic about that. So would love to see them start to punch above their weight there. And they'll be bringing two upgrades. It had been thought that they were going to bring major upgrades just to Austin, but now they're going to split them between Austin and Mexico. So look out for that.
All right. For Mercedes, they also had a little bit of a tough weekend at Singapore, especially after their poor strategy decision to start Lewis on softs didn't pan out. But this weekend, they're introducing some major upgrades, so hopefully that will help them out. And it's Lewis's 350th race start, which is absolutely bananas.
Epic.
But in some other Lewis news, we must mention... He is officially a co-chair of the 2025 Met Gala. And he also, we talked about this in our newsreel, but he also has been calling for F1 to kind of, quote, stop ignoring Africa as a race location, saying that it can't be adding races in other locations and continuing to ignore the continent. So hopefully there's going to be some movement there, because I really think we need a race.
I feel like anything Lewis touches and or says turns to gold, so it's only a matter of time.
Fingers crossed. Also, my
so many things.
My father is moving to Cape Town, so how amazing would that be if there was a race?
It feels like every time we go to races, Tiki's family comes through. Like one time my dad came to Mexico and it was amazing, and then your mom and your sister came with us to
Miami.
Well, your mom was in Miami, and then your mom just were at Indy too. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
It's so fun. The
Valen family party.
Fun for the whole family, as they say.
There we go. For Aston Martin, in a press conference over the break, the team said that they were actually already winding down development of the 2024 car, which makes sense, but they're really looking towards the future. They have expanded their factories and they're moving into new buildings on their campus. They're already excited about 2025 and especially 2026, when they will become a Honda customer team. So not much for them in the way of, you know, what they could be expecting for Austin. They're kind of facing forward, since now they have Alonso for a while. And of course, now they have Adrian Newey. So a lot to look forward to for that team in the long term. There are so many reasons to learn a new language, but our favorite is for traveling. Of course, we travel all the time for F1 races, but also just for personal and fun travel as well. And we always like to feel better equipped when heading to a new country. When it comes to race weekends and the logistics, knowing the language really, really helps. But also just knowing the language helps us deepen our cultural appreciation for new places. So even if you're not traveling anytime soon, it can be a fun hobby that actually has lots of studied cognitive benefits. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program and the perfect place to start. With over 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered, Rosetta Stone is the place to learn a language fast. It's designed for fast language acquisition and long-term retention. Plus, with their app, it's super convenient to learn. So don't put off learning that new language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Paddock Project listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Women's health is really, really important to us, and we think that balanced hormones really play a key role in that. One thing that we've been loving is the supplement Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth, and that's a company that's committed to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, science-backed herbal extracts that help the body adapt to stressors like hormone changes that can happen naturally throughout a woman's life. We love it because it helps us maintain optimal hormone levels and supports our mood and general well-being, especially in our crazy day-to-day times. There is a reason that Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTHEGIRLS for 15% off today.
Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
For VCarb, definitely a sad weekend for the team with Daniel Ricciardo officially off the team. Listen to our latest Daniel deep dive episode for our full thoughts and lots of other good information in there. But yeah, it's going to be weird, especially it being Austin. That's such a Daniel Ricciardo race. But we have to say, we are so excited for Liam Lawson and so excited for his return. He's had some really great races last season, so we can expect him to have hustled hard and hustle even harder in this last quarter of the season to try and secure a 2025 seat, which is still not confirmed. Christian Horner said in an interview that Lawson's promotion has been made with an eye towards the future, which does make sense considering the team is thinking about a potential future replacement for Checo. So he's definitely, I think, in the running for that, but we'll see how he performs in the last several races here. We did interview him in Miami this year, so give that a listen as well before the weekend. But what do you think? It feels like the VCarb seat is Liam's to lose for 2025, but do we think there's a chance he could replace Checo for 2025 based on Christian's comments, or do we think he'll maybe stick with the VCarb seat, or could there be someone else in contention?
My bigger question is, do we think that Checo would leave in 2025 because he wants to leave or because he would get pushed out? So I think that would be my first question.
Well, we have to talk about his Instagram story of "I'm not leaving" from The Wolf of Wall Street, which is iconic.
So funny. But again, like, I don't know, like anything could happen. So I know I've always said that I think Checo's going to leave next season. I actually now don't think that he will, but I think 2026 is definitely going to be a brand new era for the team, and we will have a new driver driving next to Max in 2026. And I think it could very well be Liam, but I could also see them not like purposely pinning Liam and Yuki against each other, but that's kind of literally what that team and what those seats are for. So we shall see.
I feel like we have to talk a little bit more about this video that Checo posted, though, because that is such a rare thing for any driver to do. But I feel like especially Checo, who is quite private and very much part of, like, I don't know, part of the Red Bull PR machine. And so for him to post that video being like, "I'm not bleeping leaving."
You think that they were like, "Checo, you got to do something now. These rumors are like," because maybe the rumors were getting ahead of something that was potentially coming and they didn't want to fan that fire. So they made Checo do something out of character to really like stop it in its tracks. But you never know.
Yeah. I don't know. But I found that crazy. I was like, was he hacked?
It was, yeah. People were like, "What? This is so out of character."
For Williams, this is a big, big weekend for Alex. This race will be his 100th F1 race. It puts him at 80th place on the list of all Grand Prix starts, just ahead of Sir Jackie Stewart and Robert Kubica. So look forward to that this weekend. We're continuing to watch with delight Franco Colapinto's performance. So excited to see how he continues to do. And if there's a spot for him next year, that remains the open question. The Sauber seat is still eluding us, but we're going to see who belongs there.
For Haas, Toyota is officially returning to F1 for the first time in over a decade, having just signed a technical partnership with Haas. So this is in addition to Haas's arrangement with Ferrari. So welcome back, Toyota. We'd love to see every team embarking on new eras of technical prowess. What am I even saying? But I think it's cool and exciting, especially for Haas, which for whatever reason holds a special place in my heart. I would like to see them evolve and continue to try to do better.
Yeah, fingers crossed. For Alpine, Renault announced that after 50 years, they're officially ending their F1 engine program next year, which means that Alpine will have to buy engines from another manufacturer, which is rumored to be Mercedes, starting in 2026. There's been huge protests over this. I think people are really upset that Renault is dropping out and Alpine is becoming a customer team. So I think that it raises a lot of questions, especially in the wake of their lack of performance. I mean, maybe they just feel like they need to turn something around, but it's kind of unclear if that is a Renault problem or if that is an Alpine problem. Otmar spoke out for the first time since leaving Alpine on, I think it was the High Performance podcast. He was saying that he was kind of set up to be the, quote, fall guy for losing out on Piastri, and that Alpine had a whole host of issues, especially the fact that departments like didn't report into him. They were reporting up through France, and so he didn't actually have that much sway or visibility into a lot of different things. Like, I think even HR didn't report up into him. Wow. So just an interesting set of maybe management issues, but it's kind of like
from your perspective too, as someone in business school now, it must be so interesting too, because you think of, like, we're talking about small margins and F1's teams operating at like the nth degree of efficiency and moving really fast to execute on things. They can also be super clunky historical business operations, mm-hmm. where things don't make sense, and maybe they would need like a consultant like Tiggy to just come in and get them all into tip-top shape.
I'm in a class called organizational behavior, and it's like managing groups.
I'll be organizational reshuffle continues.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, maybe I'll do some research on it. There you go. One thing we have to mention about Alpine too is their Indiana Jones livery. This one was so fun. I kind of love it. So I think that was a good one. But for Stake, last but not least, the big news here is that the team is still yet to announce the 2025 seat who will be sitting alongside Nico. But Valtteri Bottas did post an Audi video earlier this week. So at the time of this recording, we don't know, but maybe it'll be announced by the time we drop this episode. But it's that felt like foreshadowing to me.
You know what? I bet you it gets announced, because I was reading some of like the press releases too, and he was like, I'll be in Formula One. Like, he seemed really confident.
Confident? So. Yeah. I mean, he's got to have a reason for that confidence.
So, besides just being Valtteri Bottas.
Yeah. I feel like usually I'm more for rookies to have a seat, but we do have four already. Yeah. It's a lot. And I think that Bottas still, I would love to see him shine in a way that he has not been able to, because he is such a talented driver. So I'm here for a Bottas seat.
I love it. Okay. What else are you here for? Let's see the hot takes.
Oh, I feel like it's a wild card with a 4-week break. Like, we don't have a lot of historical data to go off of. So I'm just going to come in hot with what feels most pleasing to me, and that is a Lewis win.
I will allow it. Okay, here is mine. We're going to see Liam in the top five. And we are going to – so Liam in the top five.
Whoa.
And yeah, I know. It's hot. Liam top five, and we're going to see a really intense fight between the Ferraris against each other, and there's going to be team orders. I dreamt about this last night.
Liam top five, I am so here for, but that is feeling so hot.
I feel like if he's filling it, he's filling Daniel's shoes, and I think it's just got to be big.
Yeah. Fire it up, Liam.
Love it.
All right, on to some news. In a big shock, Michael Andretti decided to take a step back from team ownership, but he did make it clear that the F1 bid to be on the grid in 2026 is still full speed ahead. Their goal is to have their 2026 chassis ready before the end of the year, which seems aggressive, but I wonder, it begs a question of if we think it will be more likely that Andretti will join without Michael in kind of that front row seat, just because I know that there was some, I don't know, tensions with him and Formula One.
It feels leadership. Like a strategic step back for that exact reason. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see about that.
Other news items, F1 announced a partnership with Hot Wheels. So expect some F1 Hot Wheels products next year. Do we have any friends that have kids? Because I'm ready to go shopping for Hot Wheels. That would be so fun.
Definitely.
Speaking of, other fun brand, I guess this is not really a brand collab. This is like a true epic brand partnership. But Rolex is now out and LVMH is in. So this luxury brand, they signed a 10-year deal with F1. It's worth almost – or people are speculating it could be worth more than $1 billion. It's going to be huge. And I think this means that – expect more races to feel like more like Monaco with like luxury brands and fashion influencers and things like that, which is always a fun crossover.
I am so interested to see how this plays out. I feel like F1 is already leaning towards the fashion direction and veering into that lane, especially with a lot of like the content and the creators and the people they're choosing to work with. But I feel like with LVMH at the table, it's going to be taking that to the next level.
So cool.
Yeah. Some other news before we wrap. So Formula E is conducting an all-female test in Spain to hopefully accelerate diversity and equality across motorsport. There have been some announcements on who's racing there, and we cannot wait. So stay tuned. We'll be posting about some of that, and we'll talk about that on some episodes. But super excited to see how that goes. And then lastly, the FIA announced that the end of season rookie race in Abu Dhabi has been pushed to 2025 due to timing constraints. I was going to be stoked about that, but I guess we'll have to wait another year.
I feel like next year, I feel like these last six races are going to be like a rookie race. We have so many.
Yeah, exactly. Well, with that, we are so excited to be at the race. Expect so much content. And also please message us if you have thoughts about, you know, what you want to see or any content requests. We'll definitely be doing a meetup. So stay tuned on our socials for that. And we'll chat to you after the race.